Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to your Hollywood Crime Scene mini episode.
Hi.
Well, Desi, we have a big crime story this week that one of our listeners, I believe it's Ashley, sent us in Instagram. A few people sent me this story.
Okay.
It's the Murdoch family.
Murders. And other things.
Among many other things.
Yes.
Now, this, our listener described this as like a Coen Brothers-esque deal, just because there's so many characters, I think, and wild situations. Today, I spent the day listening to a podcast about this case. It's called the Murdoch Murders Podcast, and it's by journalist Mandy Matney. Now, the name looks like it's spelled Murdaw.
Yeah.
But as Mandy explained in her podcast, everyone knows it's Murdoch in South Carolina.
Okay.
This is a very powerful family. Also, interesting thing, the patriarch, that's sort of like the living patriarch, Alex Murdaw, his name is pronounced Illich.
Really?
Well, that's what she said.
Is it spelled Alex?
It's spelled Alex.
And it's pronounced Illich?
Or Alec.
Alec.
That's what everyone calls him, is Illich or Alec.
But that's weird, because there actually is a version with a C.
but it's spelled like Alex.
Huh. That's such a rich person thing. Like, here's my dumb name and you're going to say it a weird way. Why do they do that?
I have no idea, Desi, but I binged most of this.
I'm on episode 2 of this podcast.
Okay. It's pretty interesting. And
yeah, I like these sort of in-depth, like, single story podcasts.
Yeah. So basically the gist of it, I'm not going to do a great job. So the reason this family is in the news is, I think it was last week this story came out. This story from the New York Times is from September 6th. It was like this guy, Alec Murdoch, was found on the side of the road while he was allegedly changing his tire, and he was shot in the head, but the bullet just grazed him. So he was treated for that, and he, like, left the hospital. He did not die, but he was shot in the head. Less than a week prior to him getting shot in the head, he had resigned from his law firm because he was embezzling funds.
Yeah.
In June of 2021, his son and his wife were murdered.
Yes, on their, like, hunting farm or something.
Yes. Yeah. They were both shot, but they were both shot with two different guns.
Right.
Which people keep saying that's very unusual.
But why is that unusual?
Not if there's two hitmen.
That's what I'm thinking. I heard that in the podcast, and I was like, well, if there's two, if you're going to kill two people, you might have two people coming to kill. Like, I didn't find that so unusual.
I mean, that's what I thought. So, that's not even the end of this family saga. So the son, Paul, who was
killed,
found murdered.
Wait, how old is Paul? The wife was 52.
The son was in his 20s.
Okay.
Maybe, yeah, like early 20s, I think. Because in 2019, Paul was in a boating accident. A bunch of his friends got on a boat. They all got shit-faced. And they got in a boat crash. And one of the girls on the boat,
Mandy Beach.
Mallory Beach.
Oh, Mallory Beach.
Yeah.
What's her name? It's Mallory?
I think so.
Well, it's something beach.
She got launched off the boat and went into the water with her boyfriend, I believe, and she never came back up.
Yeah.
So now this, so he was like under investigation while like during this time
for and like drunk boating or whatever. Or,
yeah. And he and then he gets murdered in 2015. So this is 6 years ago. Paul
Smith.
Not who I'm talking about. Well, yes, who I'm talking about. But Paul was also believed to have been connected to the death of this nursing student who was found beaten on the side of the road. They initially investigated it as a hit and run, but there was no evidence of it being a hit and run.
Oh.
There's a lot of stuff.
So they're connected to a lot of suspicious deaths.
Yes. And also, it goes without saying that this family is very connected to law enforcement and has been for 100 years. This is a very powerful South Carolina family. They have a ton of money.
And I in one of the episodes, I heard like a lot of people had to recuse themselves from whatever investigations because they were so connected. But I like how they act like that makes a difference.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Maybe just the people who with direct connections recuse themselves, but it's like everyone probably low key knows not to like push things with them.
Yeah.
You know?
They're very powerful. They're very wealthy. The podcaster Mandy stated that people were afraid to like talk about them.
Yeah.
Or say anything about this family. So look, we'll keep you posted on this case.
We're not afraid.
But I do recommend listening to the podcast about it just because it's obviously she's done the work. She's researched it.
She'll tell you.
She'll tell you what's going
on. She's the one who's digging. She's reporting. She's just not like repeating things she's read elsewhere.
Right.
She's doing this. She's like actually doing the investigation
right.
as well. I like her. Her name is, what is her name?
Mandy Matney.
Matney. Yeah. I like her.
You know what? I like her too. And people, look, people like obviously complained about her voice on the first episode because the second episode she issues a statement that's like 5 minutes long and she's like, yes, I have vocal fry, whatever that means. I'm not a professional podcast. I'm a journalist. Like, what do you want me to do with my voice?
I like too. She's like, I'm making phone calls every week, day after day. So my voice is fried.
Yeah.
And she's also like, I can't change my voice. And it's kind of mean to suggest I do. And I was like, yeah. I was like, don't even get me started on like, it's kind of sexist too. Like, well, I mean, that's sort of an old, you know, thought that it's like only women who have this complaint.
Irritating voices. Well, I just think it's funny because I think, look, she's saying all the things that a lot of podcasters are thinking, but don't say out loud on their podcast. That's why it's funny to me because it's like, Desi and I have we've been called Valley Girls many times before. We're not even from the Valley. And you know what?
Because it's a sexist insult.
Yeah,
I think.
And
it's like, call me a dumb bitch from Queens. That's different. It's very specific.
Exactly. Call me a dumb California bitch, but I've never lived in the Valley, so technically I'm not a Valley girl. And you know what? Even if I was a Valley girl, and maybe I do sound like a Valley girl, sometimes I probably do. I don't really care.
Look, a lot of guys also sound like shit. What if they work on their own tribe? We'll not worry about it.
But it's not even men. It's not solely men who make these comments. A lot of women are fucking assholes too.
Absolutely.
So
that's my theory. Everyone's an asshole.
Look, asshole knows no gender.
No. No, I agree. But it is kind of like, you don't have to like it. Just don't listen to it.
Right.
You don't have to leave a mean comment about someone's voice. Because it's true. You probably really can't change a lot about your voice. She's like she said, she's not a professional podcaster.
Yeah.
Not that we are or like, but you know what I mean? She's not like thinking about that stuff, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I do like, look, I would never, we don't go on tirades about, you know what, look, people have complained about us and you know what, that is absolutely their right to do. We are a public podcast. I just thought it was funny that she was saying so many things that I know other podcasters think or get frustrated by.
Sure. I mean, everyone can do what they want, but it's a free show. No one's forcing you to listen to it.
Right.
You don't have to like it. But for leaving a review, I've literally never left a bad review on someone's podcast. I just don't listen to it again.
I just don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I mean, I might tell a friend like, oh, I didn't like this, but I'm not going to be like publicly acting like I've spent $30. Like, do you know what I mean? It's not like a Yelp review necessarily, but whatever. No. People can do what they want. You're right.
Yeah, but I have enjoyed the podcast just because it has provided a lot of information of the background of this case. She started the show in June, so I imagine it was a big shock to her this past week when somebody shot Alec Murdoch in the head.
Right. It's like a breaking development in the middle of her podcast that was already happening.
And that's always exciting for journalists on podcasts when the story is still unraveling as you're telling it.
Yeah. Especially this, where it seems like maybe he's not an innocent victim. I don't know.
Well,
like,
yeah.
Like, it's not like someone was murdered. It's just a weird incident.
Yeah.
Because he survived it. And it's like, there's something going on here.
Yeah.
This family is fishy. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we don't know. So I will keep you posted, but we're not doing the investigative journalist work on this. Someone else clearly is. And yeah, let's move on to another story. This story came out yesterday. Okay, so we've talked about Dear Evan Hansen.
Oh boy.
On this show.
Did
the
we?
Movie.
Okay.
We talked
the trailer.
We talked about the trailer when it came out. So one of the things that it seemed like everywhere everyone complained about was how old the star, Ben Platt, who originally played Evan Hansen in the Broadway production.
Which is different. And you can be older.
Yeah, and he's a very talented person, so they cast him in this role to play a high schooler in the film, but people could not shut up about how old he looked in the film and like laugh about it or whatever.
Right.
I saw something that yesterday saying that they're going to release a de-aged version.
No.
Where they're doing CGI technology to de-age him.
Ugh.
So he looks like a high school student.
Okay. I think I saw a picture, a joke picture of this. And
no,
I
thought it was real.
Is that real? That little baby picture? Or like it looks like a I didn't know that that was real. I thought it was a joke, but that's crazy to me that they
would do that. I thought it was real. I can't even find the article anymore, but
that's really crazy.
That's crazy, right?
Well, I also heard, look, I'll admit, I kind of am into how much everyone is hating on this movie. I have no skin in this game.
No.
But for some reason, I find the whole thing pretty funny.
Yeah.
Because the story is just not for me, and the musical is just not for me. I'll just say that up front. But I've read some of the meanest reviews that insane.
I mean, how bad could it be? Come on, guys.
But I think it's like a classic case of a Broadway actor who might be very talented on Broadway, just not transferring to film well beyond his age. I feel like the things I've seen is that he's very stagey and broad. And doesn't really, he's probably just not that experienced of a film actor.
Yeah.
So it seems like it could be comical because the subject matter is kind of serious.
Yes.
So I think it might be unintentionally funny.
Well, and there's all these heavy hitters, film actors in the movie with him.
And I think another thing is we're kind of accustomed to seeing parodies of old people playing teenagers in like comedy sketches. So to see someone like that, it's almost like you assume it's a parody. Cause we all grew up with like 90210. They were all like 30 when they were playing high schoolers.
Yeah.
So we kind of grew up with that. And I think I've seen a ton of sketches where it's like elderly people playing high school. You know what I mean? Like that kind of comedy sketch.
Yeah.
So seeing him, it's almost like you're watching a parody sketch of an old person playing a teenager.
Yeah.
But it's not that. I don't know. It just seems a lot of unintentional comedy is happening.
I feel bad for Ben Platt. He's probably
I do too.
Now I feel bad for him because he's like, this is my first big film. You know, Julianne.
Here's
Moore,
why I don't feel bad for him.
Okay.
Because he has a very wealthy father and connected producer father who is probably largely responsible for him getting some breaks to begin with. And I think he might be the producer of this film as well. So I'm not saying he's not a great guy.
He'll be okay.
He'll be fine. He'll be okay. I don't feel bad for him. It's not like some unknown person who is from some small town getting their big break.
Right.
He'll be fine. And then I also, look, this is a particular pet peeve of mine. I always feel like Broadway actors will try to do a pop or rock album sometime, and it's never really great.
Do you get a vibe that he's
he released a pop rock album like a few weeks ago.
Oh no.
And I was just kind of like, this guy's a little cringe. He needs to be taken down a peg or two. So we'll see. Sorry if you're a big fan of his. I feel like this is the guy whose fan base is probably like 16. Do you know what I mean? Like teenagers who are really into Broadway. You know that set of people? Like I knew a lot of girls like that, and they would always have crushes on like Roger from Rent or whoever was like the big Broadway star at the time.
Yeah, see, I loved Broadway when I was a kid, and I still do. But and we've talked about this on the show before, I never was into the new shows.
Yeah.
I never kept up with current Broadway trends or anything. So I'm so ignorant about all the like newer shows.
I used to know more because I lived in New York. So yes. I would see them or see commercials more there than I do now.
I knew about them, but I haven't even seen Spring Awakening, and I heard that one's great.
Oh, it's good. Yeah. I did see that at the Amundsen when it was in town. Yeah. I have seen a few shows here, but it's just not the same. It's just not as easy as when you live in New York.
Look, I mean, at my core, I am a Rodgers and Hammerstein, Fosse, Sondheim girl.
Yeah, me too.
That's the Broadway that I love.
Absolutely.
And those are the shows that I know all the words to.
You don't like Jekyll and Hyde? I'm sorry. No, I agree. Like, I'm a classic musical, and I am including like 70s and even some 80s and 90s. But there's just at some point, it's kind of like when blockbusters took over Hollywood. There's like a lot of blockbuster musicals because it's really hard to make money on a Broadway show.
Yeah.
So they have to be tied to like a big IP or, do you know what I mean? Like a Disney movie or something. So, I mean, obviously there's still stuff being made.
And there's a lot of really great stuff being made. We're just not hip to it.
And when I lived in New York, I was able to go see more off-Broadway things before they got big and maybe never go to Broadway sometimes. Right. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's interesting.
So look out for the de-aged version where they CGI him to look like he's a teenager.
I'm sure that'll make everyone happy.
God. Some food news.
Ooh.
This seems like a troll. This is from Food and Wine. It says, Twix seasoning is real and you're supposed to try it on chicken wings.
What?
Twix Shakers seasoning blend is a chance to add a sprinkle of the candy bar to any dish. New Jersey-based B&G Food sells plenty of seasonings and spices. They make Molly McButter if you want to add a bit of butter to Buena Vida chili powder. I don't know what any of this means.
I feel like you're reading in a different language.
Okay. They also make Mrs. Dash.
Oh, I know that.
Well, they make Mrs. Dash blends. Okay. And now they're making Twix Shaker seasoning blends. What? So if you want your food to taste like Twix, which I don't know why you wouldn't just put this on solely dessert foods, but they're encouraging you to put it on your hot wings.
Oh my God.
Are you looking at it?
Yeah. Twix Shaker seasoning blend.
This is wrong.
Great for ice cream, cookies, milkshakes, and more. Okay, well, that makes sense.
But now they're encouraging you to put it on in popcorn, cocktails, or even chicken wings. I think the popcorn is
sounds
fine.
Good.
The popcorn's fine, but...
Chicken wings, no.
Okay, this is what Kristen Berlew, senior manager of PR for B&G Foods, told me via email. One of our favorite recipes is Twix barbecue sauce. The recipe, which includes ketchup, honey, Worcestershire sauce, lemon juice, chipotle sauce, and of course, Twix Shaker's seasoning blend, is a bold play on a traditional mole sauce and ideal for chicken wings.
Okay. I don't really see why you need the Twix, because all the other flavors, you probably barely taste it.
If I'm making a mole sauce, I'm going to use the best Mexican chocolate. I'm not going to use Twix chocolate for that.
No.
Look,
God bless them for trying.
God bless them for trying.
They're trying to make you use it more.
I think that's what it is.
They don't want you to just limit to desserts. They're like, look, you don't have dessert every day. Sometimes you're making up chicken wings. Like, I feel like you have to expand your savory options beyond just chicken wings. Like if you're going to do that.
Yeah. So I'm not for this. I am for if you want to put it on your ice cream or your.
Ooh, I like the waffle suggestion. That looks good. Okay. See, here's another. Oh, that looks good. They're making a dip for fruit and pretzels.
See, if it's a sweet thing, yeah. I'm okay with
it. The sweet I get. They're trying to expand, but I don't think we need to do that. I can't even believe there's a Twix sprinkle. Like, what is that? Is it crumbled up Twix?
I think it's just pulverized Twix bars.
That sounds good.
I'm sure it's good in certain applications.
I'm not putting it on my wings.
No, I'm not putting it on my wings.
I think it would be good sprinkled on top of a sundae.
Yeah.
That would be really good.
Okay, we have one last story. This is not an appetizing story, but this is for all of our listeners who have Roombas.
Oh, no.
Do you have a room?
No, I do not.
I've never used it.
They're expensive.
Are they?
I looked it up and I was like, that's $500? Like, I'm not, no.
Wow. But, you know, people love them.
I guess I don't have faith that they work that well.
I don't either. And I'm sure we're wrong. But also, I really like vacuuming.
I just don't know that it would appeal to me. It seems like something that would appeal to people who are very, like, into technology.
Yeah.
Like,
or maybe people who are really busy and like they go to work and then they put the Roomba on when they leave.
I don't think I'd want it on when I was there and I'm always home.
We know, and you know, dear listeners, how we are with technology. I know I would fuck this up.
It just sounds, also with cats, seems like torture.
Yeah. Although but I have cats seen cats ride. That
would
very
be fun.
Cute.
That's sort of the only, that's what's worth the $500. Right.
Is to see your little angel sitting on top of a Roomba as it's worrying around your
Absolutely.
House.
Absolutely.
Okay, so this story is from CNN Business. It says, the new Roomba uses AI to avoid smearing dog poop all over your house.
Oh, wow.
It says, in November 2014, Chantel Darby awoke to an excrement-fueled nightmare. Her Roomba robot vacuum was set to run in the middle of the night while she, her husband, and their dogs were asleep. But one of their three dogs, a foster pooch named McGregor, pooped in the house at around the same time.
Left a McShit. Dude, I'm fucking ill right now thinking of what happened.
It gets worse. When Darby got up in the morning, there was poop smeared throughout most of her home.
Jesus Christ, I'm ill.
She says, I remember walking into my office and it looked like a murder scene, but with poop.
I know exactly what it looks like.
Ugh. In her office, she said, the Roomba ran over a power cord, then kept roving in circles, leaving tracks reminiscent of crop circles. That is disgusting. They threw out a rug, power cords, and after her husband tried and failed to clean it, the Roomba. Darby, who works in public relations, said she and her husband bought another Roomba and began using it during the day, but the same sort of thing eventually happened again after McGregor had another accident indoors.
Why they always have to blame McGregor? Now I feel bad for him.
iRobot, the company who makes the Roomba, is trying to eliminate this kind of incident with the use of artificial intelligence. On Thursday, iRobot announced a new Roomba robot vacuum cleaner called the J7 Plus that uses AI to spot and stay away from pet poop and power cords.
Dog poop. Let's get real.
The vacuum, which is initially available through iRobot's website, costs $850.
Oh, shit. So that's even more expensive than I thought.
I don't
like... I remember being shocked how much it was.
I'm really scared of AI. An AI Roomba? That sounds like a disaster. I'd rather have the poop.
I mean, they say AI, but I don't feel like it's what we think of as AI. It's just like, oh, it has a little bit of a censoring or something.
Look, go watch Chopping Mall. Okay.
Seriously, guys?
I'm really scared.
I get all my science from Chopping Mall.
I'm scared of robots.
Yeah, I mean, appliances can kill you. We've all seen a horror movie where that happens.
Yeah, Ghost in the Machine.
What about one scary thing? The machine did not kill, but remember in Children of the Corn where they stuck the hand in the meat slicer? Mm. I always think of that and so scared of meat slicers.
Oh, God.
Like, because what if that came to life
or
somehow?
Those paper slicers?
Ugh.
Do they even still have those in school?
You mean with a big blade that you pull down?
It was like a huge machete attached to a board.
And it's sort of satisfying, but also scary.
The sound of it was very satisfying. But the fact that there was just constantly a hinged machete in the classroom at all times and no one's fingers ever got sliced off is a miracle.
Yeah, because that shit was sharp.
Yeah.
No, those are incredible machines.
They are.
Well, not even a machine. It's like
I don't even think they make it. Do they still have those? Well, that's all my news stories, Desi. So great. Let's take a quick break and we'll be back.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm a huge fan of Rocket Money. Not only did they help me find and cancel some of my unwanted subscriptions, in general, they've given me a great picture of my financial status and helped me save money. I've always struggled with finding time to manage my finances. At the end of a busy week, the last thing I want to do is spend time budgeting all of my expenses or tracking down customer service teams to cancel old subscriptions I no longer use. But now I use Rocket Money and it does all that for me. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of my expenses. I love the dashboard that shows me this month's spending compared to last month's, so I can clearly see my spending habits. Plus, they'll help me create a custom budget and keep my spending on track. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/HollywoodCrimeScene. That's rocketmoney.com/HollywoodCrimeScene. rocketmoney.com/HollywoodCrimeScene.
Desi, did you read anything, watch anything, listen to anything spectacular this week?
Yes. Last night I watched Malignant.
Don't tell me anything. I'm going to watch it hopefully tonight.
Well, I have to because we have to talk about it. I'm not going to tell you any spoilers, but am I supposed to say anything?
I want to go into it blind.
It doesn't really matter, honestly.
Was it good?
Here's my opinion. It is good, but up until a certain point, it's very sort of pedestrian.
Oh.
Like, it's sort of like you've seen it. You'll be like, okay, I know what the twist is. Like, nothing is very... If you know horror, you're not going to be that surprised. But it's perfectly fine. And then the last 30 minutes, it just goes off the rails.
Love
insane.
It. Love it.
So that's my review. Like, it's not bad up until that point. It's just kind of a more typical but cool and scary and spooky horror movie. And then the last bit, I mean, this is all people, everyone is saying the same thing because it's that clear cut when this shit goes off the rails. So yeah, I mean, it's good. I watched it last night. I think it just came out on HBO Max.
Yeah,
it is directed by James Wan, who did Saw and Insidious. Did he do Conjuring?
He did one of my favorite movies that I think is one of the most underrated horror thriller movies. It's called Death Sentence with Kevin Bacon.
Oh, right. That's right. He did that.
That's my favorite James Wan movie. And I know that's a very controversial opinion because people love Saw. My favorite James Wan movie is absolutely Death Sentence with Kevin Bacon.
I like Death Sentence better than Saw.
Okay, so you're on board with me.
Yeah. I mean, Saw maybe has a more traditional slasher, you know, whatever, horror setup. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's gory. But Death Sentence is pretty gory, actually.
Death Sentence is very gory.
But it's more set in reality than Saw is.
It's more
right?
grounded in reality, yeah.
No, I agree. I think I enjoyed that more. I just saw Saw, like, 2 months ago.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen it ever. I've never seen any of them except for the original. So it is weird to see a movie like that after it's been so iconic for a long time.
And we know the twist.
Yeah, or I don't know that I knew the twist exactly. Mm-hmm. What's the twist? I can't even remember what it was. I don't even know, like, because it's true. It's like so in my mind that I probably didn't. Yeah, I don't know. But I did enjoy Saw. I did like it.
Yeah.
But I agree, Death Sentence was more interesting.
It's just that type of movie, I don't know. There's so many revenge movies, but I feel like this one was executed really well because...
Was that post-Saw?
Yes.
Okay.
I saw it in the theaters and literally there's like five people I know who've seen this movie.
No, I had never even heard of it.
Yeah.
But it's on Netflix, I think, or something.
Or HBO Max.
I saw it for like on one of my streaming.
I was so glad that James Fritz, friend of the pod, he also likes Death Sentence.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I definitely feel like I get this guy's style.
Yeah.
For sure now. And this movie is very... it plays homage to like a lot of things I like a lot of 70s horror and Italian.
It said it was like a very giallo film.
Yeah. And there's also an element, I'll talk to you about it after you see it, like a particular horror gimmick or trope that I really like that this has. And I mean, it's pretty obvious from the first scene, so it's not like I'm giving anything away, but like, yeah. Yeah. In general, I like that type of trope.
Yeah.
Even though it's like been done, I don't care. I'll always be into it.
For sure.
Yeah.
So that's good that, you know.
Yeah.
There's a new
movie
to...
There's no new movies. I really want to see Candyman, but it's not streaming.
Oh, yeah. I want to see the new Candyman too. The original is so fucking good.
I love the original. And I've seen like the new one has some sort of... in between reviews.
It has mixed reviews. Some people thought
it
was
great. I still want to see it though.
I do too.
And I wish it was streaming. I would have watched it already. Clearly. Yeah.
No, I'll absolutely definitely want to see the new one. If you haven't seen the original Candyman, what are you doing? Go watch it. It's one of the
best
horror movies.
That's streaming, I think, on Netflix. Pretty sure.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's so good.
It's incredible. So what did I... Okay. So I've been really into 6 Feet Under.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I'm... on the final episode of season 2.
Oh, damn. You still have a lot.
I still have a lot. It's so good.
I know. I love this show.
It's so good. It's so funny. I keep forgetting to tell my mom that I'm watching it because my mom was obsessed with that show when it was on.
Right.
So now I'm watching it and just like the theme music reminds me of like hearing it from my mom's bedroom.
Right.
When I was in high school or whatever. It's a great show. Everyone's so good in it.
No, I knew you would like it.
No notes, just a good show.
It's very good.
If you're into family dramas.
I put on The Sopranos the other night to fall asleep. I didn't realize what episode it was. And it was, I'll just say, comfortably numb. I don't want to give anything away if people haven't seen it. But I was like, why did I turn this? It's like I didn't realize until that scene started. And I was like, no. It's just a very traumatic death scene. It was so awful that, of course, I watched it.
Right.
Like, I didn't turn it off because I was like, well, now I'm here.
Right.
Got to see it through.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I hate it. It's so bad. No, I'm trying to think if I watched anything else. I don't think so. I mean, I think I mentioned a few weeks ago I was in a real rut where I would just start things and then stop after 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Although now I do want to go back to Season of the Witch because I was listening to something where people were talking about it.
The movie?
With Nicolas Cage and Ron Perlman.
You didn't watch all of it.
No, I stopped after 10 minutes.
Right.
But now I heard like a podcast where they were discussing movies and it was another movie and then that came up for some reason. And their discussion was so funny that I was like, okay, I need to go back and watch it in the sort of like guise of being more comic, even though unintentionally comic.
Right.
So maybe I'll do that. Because Nicolas Cage.
I love him.
I do like him. And I feel like he gets a lot of grief for his bad choices in movies. But he always gives his all.
That's what I love about him is he commits to every single movie. He never phones it in. He's always going to be Nicolas Cage.
He's like a unique screen presence.
Yes.
And I guess if you don't like it, you don't like it.
Right.
But if you do, he's always fun to watch for me, I think.
I agree.
He's fun.
He's very fun. So obviously I've been watching a lot of reality TV. I just watched an episode of Darcy and Stacey in which they're in Turkey getting some new plastic surgery. They just flew there and they're getting new veneers. I have seen a lot of surgery and medical procedures on reality television before, but I was not prepared to see veneers being done. It is disgusting.
They're baby teeth, right? Don't they like shave their teeth down?
This procedure is one of the most disgusting things I've ever witnessed. I felt like I was watching a torture scene happening. Yes, they shoot your mouth up full of Novocaine. Thank God. I think they have to give you laughing gas because they were both fucking slurring their words. But they shave your teeth down to baby nubs. Ugh. And both of them were like, haha, look at my teeth. It was the scariest thing I've ever seen.
And they're already a little scary. I mean,
I disagree. I think they're goddesses. I love Darcy and Stacey Silva.
One day I feel like you're going to come out of your fog.
No, I love them. I want to be friends with them. I support them, even though they make some interesting choices that I don't agree with all the time. But I think both of them, look, they're both really good parents. I really like their kids are really well adjusted. I love their father. He plays a big role in the Darcy and Stacey show. I love Papa Silva. And they're like BFFs. They love each other and support each other. Mm-hmm. I love the Silva twins. I'm Silva strong.
Okay.
No one can change my mind about that. So
I mean, you're just supporting their mental illness.
No, aren't we all a little mental ill?
I mean, yes, but I would hope my friends reined me in a bit.
And maybe that's part of it, is I want to sit Darcy down and be like, you are a queen, you're a goddess, you need to love yourself more.
I think that's my issue. It's not that I dislike her, but it's painful for me to watch them not truly be happy in a deep way, in a real way. It just, I can't watch people like that, even if it's not that I dislike them or think they're bad people, but it's like their insecurity is so...
It's tough for me to watch. Yeah.
Because it's like, I agree. It's like, I also feel like I want to sit them down and go, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Stop. Like,
right.
And it's like, I don't care about getting plastic surgery and da 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 da. But when you're using that instead of truly working on something inside of yourself, I feel like you're not going to get there just through plastic surgery to make you happy.
Right.
Like, there's no internal work being done.
Well, the veneers were very traumatic to watch. I hope they got paid a ton of money from TLC for letting them film that.
Do they get paid a ton of money for those shows?
They have to. Well,
they might, because they have their own show now.
And
right?
Because they're like veterans now.
Yeah.
Because they did 3 seasons of 90 Day Fiancé. So, well, Darcy did.
But Stacey was on there.
I'm sure they negotiated a way better deal than what they pay cast members of 90 Day Fiancé.
And they have their fashion line.
They have House of 11, their fashion line. It's like Fashion Nova, but Darcy and Stacey brand. So, I mean, that's like, I was watching that right before you came over tonight, and I watched that scene, and I'm going to be haunted by it forever.
I mean, I'm probably going to watch that show. I haven't yet. I'm on season 7 of 90 Day Fiancé. Not that great of a season for me. Did you watch it?
Of course. Who's on season 7 again?
Well, it is Marcel.
Oh my God, Anna and Marcel.
Marcel, yeah.
Okay.
And then there's the Brazilian model and the old guy. I guess that's every season.
Okay, the Brazil, yes.
Juliana
and Michael. And Michael.
And then there's also the woman who has the South African boyfriend. He's kind of surfery looking. I can't remember.
Oh, Sinjin and Tanya.
Yeah,
Tanya. Tanya's the villain.
She's a nightmare.
She's the villain on that season.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Everyone fucking hates Tanya.
Here's what's weird, because I'm watching this almost by myself, so I don't have any like communal opinions.
Yeah.
So I don't know like who was hated and who wasn't.
Everyone hates Tanya. Everyone loves Sinjin. Everyone fucking hates Tanya.
Sinjin seems nice. She's so controlling. It's driving me crazy.
She's a nightmare. I only remember season 7 super well because that was the season that Allie, Melissa, and I recapped for.
Okay, that was like
back when we did our 90 Day Fiancé podcast.
I think that Angela and Michael are on this season, but they haven't arrived yet.
Oh, so you just started it.
It's only like episode two. Okay. Sometimes I think I've watched four episodes, but then I realize they're all like 2 hours long or something.
Yeah.
There's a few other couples, but I would say those are the standouts.
Yes, those are for sure.
Yeah. Marsal. There's the guy in Florida too, with the woman who wants to move to Miami. He has like a kid. Bryson, I think his name is.
Oh, no, Annie and Bryson. I love Bryson. He's so cute.
I think Marsal and Annie, that's a crazy couple.
Yeah.
Anna.
They met on a beekeeping Facebook site.
Yeah, she's a beekeeper. I like her family. The mom.
Dude, the mom. Okay. Her youngest son.
Oh, yeah. The kids.
Joey. I think his name's Joey, maybe, or Leo. I don't know. Her youngest son is like the sweetest baby angel. I just love him so much.
Yeah, he's sweet.
I adore her son. You know what? I like all her sons. The other one's
he's more cynical.
He's going through puberty. He's going to be more a little teen,
and he's like, "This is ridiculous."
Yeah.
And you're right. The younger one's very sweet.
Yeah.
But I like the scene where the mom, they went out to the restaurant, and she's like, "I'm getting a beer."
Yeah.
she's kind of borderline rude, but it's sort of funny.
Yeah.
And he doesn't speak English at all. And she doesn't speak Turkish either, obviously.
No.
So everything is on like a translator app.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Also, I'm sorry to be mean, but he's 38 years old.
No. Look, you need to listen to some of the episodes that Allie and Melissa and I recap.
Yeah. I'm listening to recaps as I go. So I'll listen to yours. I didn't know when you guys started.
No, we did that season. So listen to some of those episodes because we talk about all that stuff, all the age stuff. We actually did a crossover episode with Reality Gaze.
Okay. I'm listening to their recap too.
Yeah. I mean,
I've listened to the first one, I think.
Right. So, yeah.
Okay. So that's all I'm watching.
What'd you eat?
Well, obviously we haven't had many exciting things, but we did just have a cheat meal.
We did.
That I almost got sick from because my body is not accustomed to downing that much deliciousness in one sitting. It was very good. We got Dave's hot chicken, which is basically two massive chicken tenders.
The biggest chicken tenders you've ever seen in your life.
They're huge.
And they're very juicy.
They're juicy and they're fucking hot. I put honey all over mine.
Me too.
I love that combo. And then I didn't eat the huge slices of bread.
I did.
That bread is good, but I was like, I honestly was feeling sick and I was like, here's me being sick. I better just not eat the bread and I'll just eat the fries. Like shoving it in my mouth. So I showed some decorum in that moment and did not have the bread because I literally didn't have the room. My stomach is shrunk, I guess, like, or I just couldn't handle all the heaviness.
Well, we're not eating fried foods on a regular basis anymore.
No. So my body was like, whoa, Nelly.
Like, if you think about how many times a week we ate something that was deep fried.
No, we were.
It's staggering. Fucking,
yeah. We were accustomed to it. It was like we were in fried food training.
Yeah.
We could handle that shit. Now we're out of shape for fried foods.
It's wild.
No, I definitely, for a second, I was like, whoa, I'm feeling a little bad right now. I was like, is that how normal people feel when they eat bad food?
I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, whoa, is this what it's like to be a food normie?
Where you don't gorge yourself on 1,000 calories in one sitting. No, I definitely was like, whoa. Like, I was like, I guess it's good to not feel good when you're overeating too much bad food.
It was good though. I'm glad.
Oh, it was good. Like, it was definitely good.
I was really tasty. We haven't had Dave's in a really long time.
Yes. I think it was also a combination of like the spiciness. Like, yes. Maybe I should have broken in with just some fried food and then added the spicy. Like, my stomach was literally like, like it was going nuts on it all. But I did enjoy it. And I feel fine now. It was just in that moment. It was like the heat. I think I was getting hot too because it's spicy.
It's really spicy.
But yeah, that was really good. Back to the health plan tomorrow.
Right.
Back to my fucking Hydroway. My Hydroway banana smoothie.
That sounds good.
With almond milk.
I have to say the Hydroway really is the gold standard of protein powders.
It's so good.
It's too bad I can't have it.
I mean, honestly.
The whey makes me break out.
I wonder if it would have stopped after a bit, though, if you got used to it. Because I had those bumps and they went away. I just think maybe it's like a thing you have to kind of adjust to, but maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I just don't want to take the risk again. I'm like finally getting my skincare routine under control.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. It's good though. And the chocolate is so far superior to the vanilla. Mm. Like it actually tastes good to me. I'm like especially with the banana, it's really good. So yeah, I'll be back. It'll be fine. Oh, and I got... Here's the other stupid thing I did. I actually ordered Magic Spoon. I was actually so like, I was like, damn, I should have found a podcast code to get a discount. I just like ordered it without a discount. But I did tell them I heard about
it. Explain what Magic Spoon is.
Okay. Magic Spoon is a kid type cereal for adults that is like no sugar and it's got protein in it. So they have like Fruit Loops, a version of Fruit Loops, a version of cocoa, you know, cereal. Then they have a blueberry, like a booberry. So they have like all kid, adult versions of kid cereal that's high in protein, no sugar, and it might be gluten-free as well.
Yeah.
So, of course, it's on every podcast. We've never gotten that ad, even though I'm dying to get it. So I actually, on my code, when I signed out, they're like, where did you hear about it? I was like, Hollywood Crime Scene, a podcast. You should ask them to advertise.
Did you say that?
Yeah.
You said that? Should ask them.
I was like, well, what do I have to lose? They're not even going to read it. I was just like, might as well just put our name out there for them.
Right.
And it's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm not getting paid for this right now. If you crave that kind of cereal but don't want to have all the sugar, I definitely think it's not bad.
Yeah.
I was surprised because I don't typically
With that stuff.
Yeah. I'd rather just not have anything or a smaller amount of the real thing.
This must be really good.
I only tried the Fruit Loop version and I thought it was good. And I had it with almond milk too. So it was extra healthy.
Yeah.
Not half and half.
Like you used to do.
Not like the old days. God. The days when I was running wild.
Did I tell you about the snack I used to make when I was a kid with half and half? I put like 2 cups of rolled oats in a bowl, in a giant bowl, and then I would douse it with half and half, put like a quarter cup of brown sugar on top of that, and then fresh blueberries. And I would just sit and eat that.
That sounds good.
And make myself sick.
You invented overnight oats.
I did invent overnight oats.
But it's better. Your version is better.
I ate it cold.
That's like my...
Oh, sorry. My sister... Okay, I got a new computer because that's why this episode's late is because my computer died. Like it's done. And every time we would record, our like recording app would just fucking crash and delete like all the shit we recorded. So the screensaver just came on my new computer and I thought it crashed and I like had a mini heart attack.
You have that muscle memory now. So it's okay. It didn't crash.
Thank you.
I was gonna say my latchkey kid snack was I used to use Teddy Grahams as cereal.
That's so.
And then they came out with Teddy Grahams cereal, but it was airy. I was like,
It
needs to be the cookie. I don't want a Cookie Crisp. That's a bullshit cookie cereal.
Right.
I would just put in mini Chips Ahoy or something
You need the density of the cookie.
Right. And the cookie cereal versions are always light and airy.
Right.
It's like, no, that's not a cookie.
You want the crunch.
Yeah. So I used to like that. The chocolate ones, they had honey and cinnamon, but the chocolate was like the best cereal. Mm.
Dude, do they still make Teddy Grahams? Those are good.
I don't know.
I loved those as a
kid. I loved Teddy Grahams. Remember they had a good commercial too.
What was it?
It was like a 50s style thing. Like, Teddy Grahams.
I vaguely remember that.
It might have been like, it like an Elvis song? Oh, Teddy Grahams.
I feel like in the 80s, a lot of kids commercials had like a 50s theme. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. And I feel like it went even into the 90s.
Yes.
Like I feel like 50s theme songs, especially if it was like based on like a real song. Oh, it's like your Teddy Grahams.
You remember the Wonder Bear? It was, or the Doodle Bear?
Doodle Bear.
The Doodle Bear was like I had one. It was a stuffed animal that you could draw on and then you could.
Oh, it had like a whiteboard.
No, oh. It was a stuffed animal and it came with a special pen and you could draw all over it and then you throw it in the washing machine and it comes out nice and clean and then you do it all over. It was like, I'm the doodle bear because I'm the doodle bear.
Dude,
please.
There's so many dumb toys.
I know there are other listeners who are of my age who know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not crazy.
No. I just saw they're coming out with a Teddy Ruxpin movie.
What?
Yes.
Is it a horror movie?
I hope so. Yeah.
Did you have a Teddy Ruxpin?
I don't think I had one, but I wanted one. Like, that definitely seems like something I wanted.
You know what's really...
That's a creepy toy, too.
You know what's really sad is, like, when I was a kid, I wanted all those toys that were that the commercials told me would be my friend.
Aww.
Like
kid sister. Yeah.
Like I really thought, I'm like, oh, this is like a special, this isn't just a regular doll. This is a doll that's your friend.
Yeah. That was false advertising.
Yeah. Cause they kill you in your sleep.
Absolutely. That's no friend.
No.
No, I literally wanted every toy that had a commercial. It all worked on me. And I wanted every food and every cereal.
Commercials worked on me so good when I was a kid.
Me too. I would instantly want it.
Me too.
And sometimes if I see it, that's like me now. I see an Instagram ad and I immediately go and buy it. Still works. I'm an impulse buyer.
Oh my God. Me too.
Did you see the shirt I bought?
Yes. I forgot what it said on it,
though. It said, "Are you there, God? It's a me, Mario." I literally bought that shirt for, I don't know why I bought it. I laughed so hard when I saw that I immediately bought it on Etsy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, that's like
I'm going to wear it for my walks.
When I saw Ina Garten did a post on Instagram recently and her husband Jeffrey was in the post and they were grilling probably for Labor Day. And Jeffrey was wearing a hat and it said Barefoot Contessa on it. So I immediately bought the hat.
Yeah.
They had the hat on their website.
I think I've had a few experiences where I don't buy something and I regret it. And now every time I see it, if it's like reasonable, I'm like, I should get this or I'm going to regret not getting it.
Yeah.
Because it made me laugh or it's stupid. You can spend $20 on a joke t-shirt.
Yeah. Yeah. This was like 25 bucks.
And I'm supporting an independent artist.
Well, Ina Garten... Her products, that shipped fast. I was shocked.
Yeah, you got it fast. Because I remember you posted about it, and it was like here the next time I came over.
Yeah, it shipped real fast. It's a really cute hat.
Yeah, I liked it. I looked at her other merch. Yeah. I like how she has a grocery on her website. Like you can order like vanilla. She's like, this is the
good
best one.
Vanilla.
Yeah.
The good vanilla.
The good vanilla.
Right.
I was like, okay.
Well, I like her recommendations. I have a bunch of her cookbooks and she has like grocery recommendations.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
This is the brands I buy.
I like that too.
Yeah.
I want to get the exact ones.
Me too.
So that's it.
That's it. We'll see you all next week.
Bye. Bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.